This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios is a singer-songwriter who I've known for a couple of years now, and this is the first time we've ever had her here, so I'm really happy to welcome to JPR, Caitlin Canty. Hello. Welcome.
Hi.
It's nice to have you here finally.
Well, I'm glad I can make it this run.
Are you still based in Nashville?
I am.
Yeah, you were originally from Vermont and spent time in New York, and now Nashville.
Yeah, I lived in Manhattan and New York City essentially for a decade. And
not making music or?
Making music. I was working some jobs at the beginning of it, but that's where I did start doing it professionally. And I'm born and raised Vermonter, but I set my eye and my heart on Nashville a few years ago. So I've been there for 2 full years now.
Has it been what you wanted it to be?
Absolutely.
Has it really?
Mm-hmm.
It's turned out.
I might still be in the honeymoon phase with that town, but I love it. And I'm only 12 minutes from the airport. And for someone who flies a lot, that is just the lap of luxury.
I should say at the outset here that you are also quite good friends with another band that we've had in recently, the guys from Darlingside.
Oh, they were
and
here too.
All went to the same university.
We did. We all went to school together.
Did you knew each other at the time?
Some of us. The youngest of that band is Harris Passeltiner, the cello player, and well, he plays just about everything. And so the other three and I overlapped somewhat. But I am the old sister of the crowd. So
great.
A few of them heard me when they were freshmen singing. We took all the same songwriting class. And they love to give me credit on stage and for at least finding out about that songwriting program. They say all of the songs come from that moment, which is total lie.
But you'll take it.
But yeah, it gets me blushing, so that's nice.
Well, and in the small world department, I should also mention that the producer, another colleague of yours, the producer of your record, Jeffrey Foucault's wife, also went to the same university.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
She was about 12 years ahead of me.
Chris Dumhorst. Yeah.
And we didn't run into each other there, but the folk world is such a small town, so ran into her post-college.
That university is starting to get quite the reputation of churning out artists.
Well, I wouldn't say it's because of we were all in the music program or anything. We weren't. Darlingside and I were lucky enough to work with Bernice Lewis, who is a touring singer-songwriter, and started a writing class there. But it was really, I think Williams encourages people to think and to not specialize too much in one, practice. They discourage science people from taking only science classes, if you're majoring in science. So,
which is what you did, right?
I was a biology major, yeah. So you couldn't take a science class for this winter study program. It had to be something in the arts or anything but, a math-based class. And that's when I started writing songs.
Well, you have now been out on the road making records for 10 years, going back to Green, Neon Streets, a couple of things that are out of print these days.
Yeah, you've done your research.
You've put out quite a number of records in short order.
I think I would consider my real record starting with the one before Reckless Skyline, Golden Hour. And
which is already half a decade ago.
That's amazing.
Does it seem strange?
Gosh. Well, the early stuff is a lot of learning how to find how to present what it is I'm trying to, I can't even speak of it.
So are they intentionally out of print then? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, I didn't print too many, so it's not like they were, worldwide popularity or anything. I'm surprised you know about it, actually.
Well, the new one is in print. It's called Reckless Skyline. Caitlin Canty is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. CaitlinCanty.com is the place to go to find out about her online. Mm-hmm. What would you like to play first for us?
Well, why don't I play you something from Reckless Skyline?
Cool.
This is the first song on that album, and a lot of these songs were written in and sort of about places in Idaho. This one in particular, I was caught up in a lightning storm up on a pretty exposed mountaintop. And
whereabouts were you in Idaho?
It was outside of Haley and Ketchum.
Okay.
And there's a wildfire that went through there actually 2 years ago. At the time, there was one that had gone through 5 years ago, and you could just see the devastation it leaves behind. But also, it's beautiful. The wildflowers are growing up through the charred bark. And then I was stuck in there at this lightning storm, and that is where this song grew from.
That is Caitlin Canty, live today on Jefferson Public Radio. The first tune from her brand new record called Reckless Skyline. CaitlinCanty.com is the web address for information. Well, there is a connection that you made to the particular instrument that you are playing, and it's the kind of connection that a lot more people are familiar with now because of the whole wand selection thing from Harry Potter, right? Like, there is a wand, and it is for you, and the moment you grab it, you know.
That's great.
And you had that happen with this guitar that you have brought in today. It's, what, 90-some-odd years, almost 90 years old.
1939 was when this one was built. It's a Recording King guitar. I found it in Boston on recommendation of Yukon, a luthier in town, who I'd reached out to a couple folks saying, I'm looking to buy a real guitar. I'd been playing a couple. My friend Peter Bradley Adams had a J45 I would play, and I loved it. It sounded so good when I sang with it. But I didn't really want an old guitar. I thought it would be tough to tune. And this one, it's got a baseball V-neck. It's all beat up. It's scratched up. Smelled like cigars when I opened the case.
We'll take a picture of it. We'll put it up on our website this afternoon.
A bunch of the guitar players in Boston knew about it and came to play it, but it was one of those, it's not the easiest guitar to play. The action's high. If you're trying to, you know, cut a sweet solo and and rip up and down the neck, which is not exactly my style. But if you're chunking away on cowboy chords, it's more my style, and finger picking, it was just perfect for me.
And Recording King was the house brand for Montgomery Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And they just sold these things out of their catalogs, the way Sears catalogs worked. And they
catalog were, guitar.
I looked it up. From at least from 1930, they were selling those things for $46.50.
Pretty cool.
And now they are prized possessions. They're kind of coming back into fashion.
Well, I've never met someone with them, but they are making replicas now.
Right. There's a new company that's taken over the brand, making replicas of the old styles of guitars that used to be things that you just buy to play around the house.
Pretty cool. They had a lot of guitar makers make them. Mine is probably by Regal. But Gibson made a couple of them under the
Recording
brand.
King name, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you nervous taking that out on tour?
I don't like to check it, and I do everything in my ability not to have to check it under the plane.
Yeah, there are horror stories.
Absolutely.
So what happened for you musically when you got your hands on this particular guitar? Did you start to make songs in a slightly different way, or
I think a lot of guitars have their own personality, and I think a lot of people fight to maybe make a guitar sound different. This one, you can't really fight it. It sounds like it is. It likes drop D tuning. It's darker and dustier than some other guitars. I really loved the tone, and it's got a smaller sound hold. It's a little more honky in some ways too. It just, for some reason, sounded good with my voice. When I sang with a J45, those lower ones, you know, the guys I sing with, sounds great when they sing along with them, but it wasn't really hitting the sweet spot with my voice. And I just sat in the guitar shop and sang all of the songs I'd written, and then I felt like they were really singing along well with this guitar.
So it's a partnership at this point.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you played Get Up For Us, and you referenced being in Idaho. What brought you out west? Why were you in Idaho?
Originally, a free ski cabin in the summer.
Oh, that's not bad.
For a month or two, and I fell in love with that whole area. I go out every year, do my annual vacation tour. So that's kept me out a little. You know, I haven't been in Oregon quite as much. Just get my fix out in Idaho and then head back.
Should try
east.
Oregon.
I know.
There's a lot here.
We had the most beautiful drive today. It's iridescent green right now. And when you're coming down, we came down from Sisters, and it's almost like fast forwarding spring in a way.
This year has been unusual.
Just a 5-hour drive though, coming, you know, from down from mountains. Also, it's amazing. Just really good tree peeping.
Well, and the outdoors appeals to you. You are a bit of an outdoor woman, right? Hiking and all sorts of things.
I do enjoy being outside. I lived in New York City for too long.
When you are out there, is it a way to shut off the music part of the brain, or is that when the music arrives?
I like to think of the music maybe in two parts. There's that song seed or that inspiration, like I was saying, getting caught on a hill and the lightning storm coming up.
Yeah.
I didn't sit down and write a song there, you know, I ran for my life, but I didn't, you know, just get home and write the song right there. I think there's these moments that are fixed in your mind, or very colorful, saturated images that find their way into songs. I think that's what happens, and the craft happens later, usually indoors for me. When I write the song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you ended up choosing 12 for the record, but there were more than 12 that got recorded during those sessions that have now come out as part of an EP called Lost in the Valley.
You got it.
It's sort of like the Reckless Skyline bonus set, right?
Is.
What happened during the process? Like, why did those, first of all, why did those not make the first cut? Mm-hmm. And second, why didn't they just stay on the shelf somewhere? What was important for you to get them out?
Well, that session was so much fun. It was a live session, 4 days. It was a learn and burn session. So I did my homework. I had my songs all stacked up, the ones I needed to do, the ones I hoped to get to if we had time. The band was strong musicians, but sweet people. And everybody was as fired up about my songs as I was, which is, it's a difficult thing to find in anyone who's been doing something for many years, you know, hundreds of years if you add up all of their experience together.
Yeah.
And it was really a cool crew who helped me realize these songs that had only just to that time been either performed live with a a loose arrangement of players or just me and my guitar. And so in that session, we would do 4 or 5 takes, move on. And I was ready to go and I sang live the whole time. So the process was, it felt more like a live show with a couple do-overs or pick the best version of that song, you know. And that was my favorite way to work. The reason a couple of them didn't make it is 12 is really pushing it, I think, for a number of songs on a record. My next one's going to be 10. Maybe I'll let it go to 11, but no further. Because
you know they hold about 85 minutes,
the attention
right?
span doesn't work. Right. And vinyl, I like to press the LP, so the longer it gets, the less the sound quality blooms on vinyl, time-wise at least. And I had some songs, when we put them all together, it was the songs that felt like they told the story in a way that made sense to me. And there were some gems that were my favorite children that didn't make the real record. So I didn't want them to fall between the cracks. And that's where Lost in the Valley came in.
Caitlin Canty is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record and a half, Reckless Skyline, and also Lost in the Valley. Information is online at caitlincanty.com. All right, you got another one for us? What do you want to play?
Well, I'll give you Warrior Ring. It's another one from Reckless Skyline.
Until the stone fell out, I wore your ring. Until the stone fell out, lost a damn thing. I wore these boots until the ground wore through. I wore these. Until the ground wore through, I feel the stones now. What will I do? What will I do? What will I do? If not your hand-me-downs, what would I wear? If not your hand-me-downs, would I be cold? Would I be proud? Wouldn't do.
That is Caitlin Candy live today on Jefferson Public Radio. Her new record is called Reckless Skyline. CaitlinCanty.com is the place to go online. And it is indeed Canty, C-A-N-T-Y, not Candy as it has sometimes been spelled. Though I was actually thinking that if you started to create a product, Caitlin Candy, you could sell it at the merch booth, right?
Well, I'd have to give you a cut then, I guess, for this idea. Yeah, Bela Fleck has his Flecktone chocolate, so that flecks of things in it. So I guess I could also get in the candy business.
Caitlin Candy would work. You once mentioned a song, a particular song and record that meant something to you because it was the kind of music that you hoped to create, which was Car Wheels on a Gravel Road, Lucinda Williams. And the reason, according to you, at least if this is true or not, that that mattered so much is because it was music that held up over time.
That's true.
It has been only a year since your last record. Mm-hmm. You have put out many, as we've mentioned. When you look back at your earlier catalog, those first records, you said, nah, don't count those, right? We're really starting with the Peter Bradley Adams duo, right? And Reckless Skyline, Lost in the Valley, Golden Hour, maybe. Mm-hmm. Are you comfortable with the way those records turned out and hoped to look back on them in the same kind of way?
Well, I think anyone would be hard-pressed to, you know, imagine if I was saying, oh yeah, my old records hold up to Car Wheels just perfectly. it's funny to think of that. I do love Car Wheels. I think that is probably something I said that it was something I listened to in college and it made sense. I listened to it years later and it moved me in a different way and still made sense and felt compelling. And I think that record seems to be a touchstone for many artists. Yeah. I think I was having a conversation with Rich Hinman, who's playing pedal steel and guitar with me on this tour on our long drive here today. Some of my favorite artists just create. They keep creating. They keep running forward toward the next thing. And they don't only put out gems of classic albums. And some artists, I was using Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings as an example, seem to only put out a gem every time. I think they're absolutely, I'm a huge fan of their music. And so perhaps there's, you know, one school of thought would say, well, Gil and Dave only put out their last record after an 8-year period of working on it. And they weren't just sitting around. They were touring a ton, but they were really writing and they decided to hold off until they had what they felt was the right foot to put forward. So I think I fall more into the how do I know what I have until I see it, you know? And I'm more of a live musician than a studio musician. So when I go into the studio, it's once every 2 or 3 years after, you know, you save up your merch money and put it down on a studio and start all over again.
I'm telling you, Caitlin Candy is going to help.
Until I get into the candy business, right. So, you know, I'm probably too bashful of a person to say that my records have held up. I do think the Reckless Skyline, the making of it, the whole process, I wrote those songs I felt like in heat is the way I put it. I wrote them fast and furious. I kept the critic locked out during that writing process and I didn't really let it in, you know, until I was deciding on what to call it or, you know, branding the thing. That's like naming the album. So I really do think sometimes the making of something and that experience is what carries forward for me. I'm too close to them to know what moves other people.
You are an artist that does a lot of collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
You play with other folks. You participate in songwriting workshops at camps and things like that. Mm-hmm. Do you feel yourself pulled in new directions when you do that? Or does doing that help reinforce where you are as an artist with your own unique individual voice?
Collaborations, like playing with other people, sometimes co-writing songs, those sorts of collaborations always put gas in the tank. You know, I found usually when I co-write with Peter Bradley Adams, we get one song out of it as a duo, and then I go and write another song separately. It's almost like you have to compromise with someone in that session, and then you go do it your own way after. So it kind of gives me... It gives me two songs for, you know, the work of one sometimes. I will say teaching I haven't done much of it, and I do enjoy teaching the workshops. That does take a lot out of me. It's hard to do it on a show day. And I want to tell everybody all of the secrets I've learned and try to give them all the good stuff I feel like I found along the way and, you know, tore my hair out learning. And I do enjoy what happens there, but I tend to go the opposite way with those. I couldn't teach every day, or I would and do it, the live shows and the touring and the writing without emptying the tank a little too much, I think.
What is in the immediate future for you? Still touring in support of this record, or are there other projects that you have on the calendar?
Well, I actually just tracked something in Nashville. I'm working on the final stages of the mixing and the mastering, and I've been debuting a lot of those songs on this tour and introducing them into my set list. I'll be, if all goes according to plan, releasing that later this year, most likely end of August. And I don't have a name for it yet, but I can play you a song that I'm positive will be on it.
That sounds good.
And
what's it called?
It's actually a debut. I've never played this on the radio.
Fantastic.
This one's called Motel Bokeh.
In a motel with a bouquet in the ice pail, you can tell them I'm doing okay, doing real well. I got six strings in the morning, the rain danced on the roof last night, the moon rose without warning, took its time crossing the sky. I could tell you about lonely roads and a highway. I could warn you about the trouble and the time it takes. But California woke up this morning with a sweet refrain. Yellow sun.
That is Caitlin Canty live today on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is called Reckless Skyline. CaitlinCanty.com is the web address. Caitlin Canty, thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for debuting a brand new song for us.
You got it.